I've grown to love over the years, and I know that you have as well. He's one that the Bible speaks a lot of. As a matter of fact, he is one that all of us should strive to be like. Everyone doesn't have this characteristic. Everyone is not like this great man of God. There's some people, it seems as if they're born that way, born this way. And then there's others that they have to grow into this particular man of God. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we come across this great man of God. His name is Barnabas. And the reason why I say he's a great man of God is because his name is Joseph. But the Bible teaches us that the apostles nicknamed him. It's interesting when people give you a nickname, it usually depicts who you are or how they see you. Well, this is how they saw him. They saw him as the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. You think about that, friends, and this is a powerful, powerful man of God. Let's read these particular passages and then we'll make some comments concerning this particular man of God. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. There's a lot in that passage. There's a lot of meat in those passages that we just read. As a matter of fact, a lot is to be said about Barnabas, and we haven't even delved or looked into any of the other passages. Some 29 times the Barnabas is brought up. 29 times. I believe that God wanted us to know something about this great man of God and imitate him. Number one, we find something out about this great man of God just because of the people in whom he surrounds himself with, Christians. Notice in verse number 32, what we find out about the people of God. And here we understand that Barnabas is right in the midst of them. Number one, they were of one heart and one soul. If you're taking notes, you want to put in your Bible, Jeremiah 32, verses 32 through verse number 41, where God was going to be bringing the children of Israel up out of the Babylonian captivity, and he's going to be bringing them to the land of Jerusalem, and he said there they're going to be one heart and one soul. Now, we know that this is not what they were talking about then, but here we see now that the church has begun and now the gospel is going forward, men and women are being baptized into Christ, sins been washed away, and now they're one heart and one soul, one mindset. And notice the attitude that they had. Neither did anyone say that any of the things which he possessed was his own. That's the type of person Barnabas was. The things that he possessed, he didn't cling to it. I'm reminded of what Proverbs 3 and verse number 9 says, honor the Lord with thy possessions. We see this about this great man of God, and we see this about the people of God at this particular time. And the reason why we see it is because these people saw that the children of God, they were lacking some things, and they were willing to sell houses and lands, the things that they owned, in order for the congregation to have what they needed. But notice what else we see about these people, and we can imply that Barnabas was just like this. They were given witness to the resurrection, the apostles. Great grace was upon them all. And notice, as they sold what they had, they brought the proceeds to the apostles. And guess who else was doing it as well? Barnabas. we think about this great man of God and we consider, what does encouragement mean? Let me give you a couple of definitions from the original. Encouragement, the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. Consolation, to call near, exhortation, comfort. Comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. Also, when we consider the word consolation, it is the provision of comfort to a person who has suffered. The word exhortation, which is just slightly different from consolation and encouragement. It means the act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, a state, or a belief. All of these things show us who Barnabas is. Now, I want us to take some passages into consideration. Number one, we see that Barnabas was one of a sacrificial heart. We just saw that. He was one who was a servant of Almighty God. But when we consider this man being a sacrificial man, notice Acts chapter 9 and look at verse number 27. In Acts chapter 9 and verse number 27, we notice something else about the Apostle Paul. I'm sorry, about Barnabas. Remember when Saul had obeyed the gospel, he was trying to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him. I mean, this man was killing Christians. He was dragging them off. He was persecuting the Lord's people. And notice verse number 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now, let's make a quick point here. Why would they listen to Barnabas? Could it be because of passages like Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment? Friends, our name means something. Our reputation means something. The reputation of Barnabas meant something. He put his neck on the line. He's vouching for this man who had openly persecuted the Lord's people. And now he's telling the very apostles, the one that named him son of encouragement, hey, he's all right. He's with us. He's okay. Let me go ahead and say this. Be careful who you say is okay. Be careful who you call good. Because all men are not good. All women are not good. But here, Barnabas puts his spiritual neck on the line. He put his name on the line for Saul. And one thing I love about Saul, he didn't let Barnabas down. As a matter of fact, he wrote so many books of the Bible, 12, some say 13. Nevertheless, he didn't let Barnabas down. He didn't let the Lord down. That's something for us to keep in mind. Number two, he had a secured heart. Not only did he have a sacrificial heart, a servant's heart, but he had a secured heart. Notice Acts 11. Look at verses 22 through 24. Here we notice some other things about Barnabas. We know he was from the land of Cyprus. We know that he went around teaching and preaching. He was a bold man of God. Notice verse number 22. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he had came and, notice, had seen the grace of God. Let's stop there. You know what this teaches us? That the grace of God is identifiable. We can identify the grace of God. In Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, we understand that the grace of God that brought salvation teaches us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously in this present age. I can tell because of my education in the Word of God who's a Christian and who's not. Those who are Christians, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19, depart from iniquity. Here we see that Barnabas could identify the grace of God and notice what your Bible says. He was glad. Now, I want us to study this just for a second. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 17. What does this word glad mean? you put your seatbelts on a little bit, you might feel a little turbulence. Sometimes, and all of us have different personalities, give you that. But you can tell when someone is excited and glad about something and when someone is not. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 17, the apostle Paul was glad. He rejoiced at the coming of Titus. Is that what your Bible says? No. What does it say? Maybe I got too happy. Oh, okay. It's another passage I'm thinking about. Nevertheless, he said, I'm glad. There it is. About the coming of Stephanus. The word glad, that he rejoiced. He was happy. Hold on. Here we see Barnabas and he is rejoicing. He's happy because he sees the grace of God among the children of God. He actually sees them carrying out the will of God. Question, how happy do we get when we see Christians actually doing what God says? Let me give you another passage. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 14. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 14, we see something else. There's another word used or translated. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 14, here, it's talking about a birth. And you will have joy and gladness. And many will, here's the word right here, rejoice at his birth. They're gonna hail. They're gonna be happy. They're gonna have rejoicing in their heart. And really, when I think about Barnabas, he was glad when he saw the grace of God. Question. How glad are we when we see people actually doing the will of God? Can we truly identify it? You know, it's unfortunate that we live in a time where people are saying that, well, we really can't know the truth. We really can't know if we're saved or not. I mean, who are we to say that those who are in denominationalism that they're not saved? I mean, who are we to say that? Question, can I identify the grace of God? God's grace is what saves, Ephesians 2 and verse number 8. God's grace is what we need in order to come into a relationship with the Father, John 1 verse 17. So here, go back to verse number 22. And notice verse 23, when he came and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with the purpose of heart. With purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. Notice what Barnabas was doing. He's encouraging the brethren. Really, this is what we ought to be doing. We ought to be encouraging the brethren. You stay with the Lord. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to your wife. Stay faithful to your husband. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Elders, keep fighting the good fight. Keep doing what you need to do. Teachers and preachers, keep studying the word so you can bring good lessons for us. Keep doing what you're doing. Right? Encouragement. Building up. And friends, some people got this down and some people don't. Some people have to grow into a Barnabas. Some people won't. Look at Galatians 2 and verse number 9. Paul and Barnabas actually was given the right hand of fellowship. And the reason why they was given the right hand of fellowship is because God's grace can be identified. Look at verse number 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship in order that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision, so forth and so on. Friends, the grace of God can be identified. And because of that, we know for a fact that we can give the right hand of fellowship to those who are faithful to God. Which means, Brother Pope Joy, those who are not faithful to God, we cannot be giving them the right hand of fellowship. God doesn't, neither should we. Number three, we see that Barnabas was one who had a submissive heart. Three passages real quick. Notice Acts 12 and verse 25. And just going to give you these in passing. Submissive. Barnabas was able to work with people. Have you ever met somebody that they can't work with anybody? Anybody? I have. It doesn't matter who you team them up with. They can't work with anyone. In Acts 12 and verse number 25, here we see that Barnabas, he could work with Saul. You go to Acts 13, 1 and 2, he could work with Simeon. And in Acts 15, verses 37 through 39, he could work with John Mark. Hold on, Paul couldn't even work with John Mark. Isn't it interesting that Barnabas, he had this type of disposition, this attitude, this mentality, and we never see him, listen to this, during this particular time going against the will of God. He's not compromising to labor with Saul. He's not compromising to labor with Simeon. He's not compromising to labor with John Mark. He's actually working with them. But then notice Acts 14. Look at verse number 20. Acts 14 and verse number 20. One thing I love about Barnabas, just submissive, just humble. If you're going to be successful, you got to be humble. You can't be prideful and be successful, not with God. Remember when Saul was beaten, stoned, and the next thing you know, we find Paul getting up. They were supposing that he had been dead. And notice who is there in verse number 20. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day, he departed with who? With Barnabas. One thing I love about Barnabas, he's not the type of friend that, you know, is going to run away when the chips are down. He's right there with Paul. One thing that we can learn from Barnabas, not only is he a man who is the son of encouragement, but he is a great man of God. He loved the Lord, but notice verse number 21, 22, and 23 of Acts 14. Notice, Barnabas was involved in aiding the disciples in verse number 21. Notice, made many disciples and they returned. In verse number 22, he strengthened the souls. He was right there with the Apostle Paul, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to do what? Continue in the faith. Friends, all of us can do this. All of us can encourage someone, stay faithful to God. Keep studying the scriptures. Keep continuing to be a humble individual that God can use you. Verse number 23. So when they had appointed elders in every city and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. Notice, he's right there. There's so much to learn from this great man of God. But then let's notice something that's a little bit different about Barnabas. Look at Acts 13. Look at verses 43 through 46. Paul and Barnabas had been preaching, and now we got an issue. We have a problem. I mean, we've just said a lot of great things about Barnabas. Son of encouragement, consolation, exhortation. It's interesting that when Paul told Timothy to preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort, I mean encourage, stir people on, we see another side of Barnabas. There's this thing going on now. Brother Popejoy knows about this. Some of our preachers who are getting on other preachers saying that, well, you know, it's mean to rebuke brethren. You got to watch yourself. You know, who are you to say that, you know, they're wrong? Well, do we have a standard? Yes or no? Yes, we do. Notice something about this great man of God, a son of exhortation, a son of encouragement, a son of consolation. Verse number 43. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews listened to this language, and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who was speaking to them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blasphemy. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas did what? They grew bold. Hold on. I thought Barnabas was the son of encouragement. No, Barnabas, you can't be sitting there and you got people contradicting you and speaking blasphemous words against your teaching. Barnabas was a man's man. Here, he was God's man, and we see this about Barnabas, and we ought to take this into consideration, that when we're standing up for the gospel, that doesn't make us mean. If anything, we ought to be the people of God and stand up for the word of God. And notice what we see about Barnabas, verse 46. It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Hold on. Paul and Barnabas, why are you telling these people, these Jews, that pretty much you're lost? That's mean. You can't do that. Here's my point, that this great man of God, son of encouragement, he was stern in the word. He knew the word. And because he knew the word, he wanted to encourage the brethren to stay faithful to God, and those who contradicted and those who stood against it, he was willing to stand. Look at Acts 15. In Acts 15, we see something else about Barnabas. A man of encouragement, a man of fortitude, a man of trustworthiness. Notice. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversions of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church. Now, notice something. In the midst of going where they needed to go, let's stop here real quick, because we got this problem in Jerusalem, and we need to go handle this problem. But since we're going through here, Brother Pope Joy, let's encourage them to continue in the faith. I love this about this man. The more I study about him, the more I see we need to be more like him. Need more Barnabases in the Lord's church. Drop down to verse number 12. We see Barnabas is involved heavily in conflict resolution. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Drop down to verse number 25. Notice what the Bible there has to say. It's interesting that we see this about this great man of God. Verse number 25. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Look at verse 26. Men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that about Barnabas? He was willing to risk his life for the Lord, and we ought to be able to do the same. Drop down to verse number 37. Drop down to verse 37. All right. Go ahead and cut it off. You'll be all right. Look at verse 36. Let's start at verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. So, hey, let's go back there. Let's see how they're doing. Let's make sure that they're okay. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not. They shouldn't take him. And notice verse 39. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, went back home, but Paul chose Silas and departed. It was so sharp between these two. Now I was thinking about this. Here we have Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas, he vouched for Saul at one time to the apostles. And now the very man that he vouched for, they got this rubbing going on. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's a sharp contention between the two. And this is the main point that I think I want us to get out of it. That Barnabas, he believed in John Mark so much. He's the son of encouragement. He didn't want to give up on this guy, I guess. I'm not saying that Paul wanted to give up on him, but I am saying what the scripture said, that Paul said, no, we're not taking him. John Mark says, no, we need to take him. And Barnabas, he believed in it so much that he didn't even back down from Paul. And that's a great point right there. Let's make this point. Sometimes, depending on who it is, we back down from people when we know we should have stood up. Why do we do that? Let's be like Barnabas. Isn't it interesting that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is asking for John Mark, saying he's profitable? Could it have been that Barnabas kept working with John Mark? He must have talked to him about leaving. I'm not saying that he had this in-depth conversation with him, but just possibly say, you know, John Mark, you know, Paul and I separated because of you. And maybe he had a good point, but hopefully you can grow past this. And he did, because Paul said, bring him. He's profitable. What do we learn from Barnabas? We learn that you don't give up on people, especially those who are trying to do what is right. You encourage them. You build them up in the most holy faith. And one thing that we know the scriptures will do, according to Acts 20 and verse number 32, it builds us up. We know that we have an example in Barnabas of building up people. We know that our prayer life can build us up. Meditating on the word of God can build us up. It can encourage us. It can help us to be the people that we need to be. But we can't be selfish. And one thing about Barnabas, he wasn't selfish. He was always looking for an opportunity to encourage people in the faith. Friends, where did Barnabas get this? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I know that I can extrapolate this. I know I can. And be contextually sound. There's no way that Barnabas can be the type of man he was and not fit this criterion. There's no way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, in order that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Hold on. Isn't that what Barnabas was doing? Wasn't he just encouraging people? It could have been. No, it was because God comforted him. He knew where his comfort came from. My mom used to always say, you can't do something for someone else unless you yourself have already gotten it. It's true. Question, are you receiving comfort from the Word, from the Father? Those who receive encouragement from God can't hold it to themselves. Those who receive exhortation from God can't hold it to themselves. How much encouragement are you receiving from Jehovah? Are you receiving the encouragement that you need so you can be an encouragement to someone else? And I'm not talking about throwing money at people. I'm not talking about putting your arms around them only, but I'm talking about the whole gamut. Rebuking and reproving, telling them, hey, You know, you living in sin is not good. It's wrong. And you're separating yourself from God and you need to come back to the fold. That's encouragement. That's encouragement. Meeting people where they are. Just like Barnabas did John Mark. He met him where he was and he took him to where he needed to be. That even John, that Paul said, bring him here. He's profitable. I need him. Question. What are we doing? How are we using our homes, our possessions to encourage others to stay faithful? Because really, that's what it's all about. It's about staying faithful to God. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world, lose his soul? We ought to be encouraging our brethren, stay faithful. We ought to be telling those naysayers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to put up with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind telling another man if he's wrong after working with him for a little while, after the second and third admonition, reject. I don't mind saying, hey, you know what? I'm about to cut your throat with this Bible. Yeah? I don't mind telling them that. You know why? Because I've been working with you. And notice what you're doing. You're blaspheming the word of God. Don't mind doing that. But after you have worked with them for a while. And encouragement, friends, it's necessary for us. None of us are going to make it to heaven unless someone else encourages us. God encourages us. The church encourages us. We must encourage one another. Who are you encouraging? Where do you receive your encouragement? Hopefully you receive it from God. Let's have a word of prayer and offer the invitation. The lesson be yours. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for this day. Thankful for men like Barnabas. Thankful that you mentioned him so many times in your word. Help us to be like him. Help us to be a people who are strong in mind, willing to stand up for what is right, regardless of who it is. Help us to be a people who are willing to encourage people to remain in the faith. Help us to be a people to go out and talk to people about the gospel, that many can be added to the church. Why? Because of what your son did for us. Help us to be just like Barnabas. Help us to grow into that attitude, that disposition, that mentality, if we don't already have it. Father, help us to be a people who love people. We're really striving to help people. To be a light to our community, to be a light in our families, to not be selfish. To have Christ living in us, the hope of glory. Father, we're thankful for this congregation and the ones that make it up. We pray to Father that we will do our level best to encourage one another, to help one another, to have the attitude that the things which we possess are not ours. Father, we love you for that. We love you for your word. We're thankful that you was willing to give up your son and your son was willing to give up his life for us. So we pray that you be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider Barnabas, son of consolation, son of encouragement, son of exhortation. If you're not a child of God, think about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good news, and it is good news. And it's going to continue to be good news until the Lord comes back. It's good news. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God himself will add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been encouraging. As a matter of fact, you've been discouraging. You've been discouraging others. No, let's build up. We're trying to get to heaven. And we want to take as many as we can, and we want to exhort as many as we can to stay faithful to God. Don't you give up on the Lord as we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.